Our next speaker is Nurit Peled Elhanan, who is an Israeli education professor at Hebrew University. Her daughter Smadar was killed by a suicide bomber. Since that time, Nurit has turned her grief into a quest for justice based on ending the Israeli occupation, which she considers the root cause of her daughter's death. In addition, it is her goal to eliminate anti-Arab racism from Israeli education. Nurit was the recipient of the 2001 Sakharov Prize for Human Rights and Freedom of Thought, which is awarded by the European Parliament. She shared the award with the late Palestinian writer, Professor Isat Kasawi. Nurit's family is a member of the Israeli-Palestinian Bereaved Parents for Peace and the Parents Circle. Her son, Elik, is one of the founders of Combatants for Peace, the organization that our guest, Eric, belongs to. Every Saturday night, Elik goes to protect Palestinian children on their way to school from settlers' violence. Nurit's son, Guy, is active in Europe with Palestinian friends, lecturing and performing, and working with mostly Arab refugees. Nurit's husband, Rami, was chosen as one of the 50 heroes of the year by the New Statesman in the UK for being a peace campaigner. Nurit Peled.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here with you. This month of June is the anniversary of the 39th year of occupation. I'd like to dedicate my words to all the children who have and are being killed, as I speak, by the occupation forces. I would also like to dedicate my words to the mothers of these children who keep families in spite of the fact that they live in hell that neither you nor I can imagine. Mothers who hurry to make sandwiches when they see the bulldozer coming to destroy their houses. And last, I want to dedicate my words to my co-laureate of the Sakharov Prize, Professor Isat Kasawi, who was a writer and a poet, and who died of humiliation 2 years ago. Isat Kasawi lost his 15-year-old son in his schoolyard when his son rushed to help a wounded friend. Soldiers were shooting into the schoolyard. After that, he was arrested and put in solitary prison for 3 years without knowing why. When he was there, he decided to write a letter to an Israeli poet, and the letter was received by a deceased poet, Yair Horowitz, and together they founded a dialogue group of poets and writers that lasted 13 years. Before his death, he wrote to me that soldiers come every night to his house to harass him, break the furniture, and frighten the children. He asked me to go to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and ask them to stop it because he thought it was a mistake. And then he wrote, "I'm afraid they're trying to silence my voice." Well, his heart knew the truth and couldn't take it anymore, and he died. And I promised him that his voice would not be silenced. I want to say something about the title of this evening, No Peace Without Justice. It's a strange title. It seems argumentative, as if someone had offered peace without justice. Frankly, I have no idea what is peace, and I have no idea what is justice. I only know that the words peace and justice are cover words for the worst crimes against humanity that are carried on today all over the world. These cover words include also words such as freedom, democracy, God, and the good of the nation. In Israel now, politicians are organizing demonstrations in the south of the country against Qassam missile throwers. The incited people ask for justice in order to live in peace. This form of justice is this extermination of the Palestinians in Gaza. They convince the people in Shderot that the only way for them to live in peace is to have other people and their children massacred. I think that people like George Bush or Ehud Olmert or some Canadian leaders who send their soldiers to the other part of the world to kill children they don't even know live in peace because they think they are doing justice, at least to themselves. But the truth is that the only place where peace and justice prevail is in the underground kingdom of dead children. This is the only place in the world where everybody is equal, where nobody judges you by the piece of cloth you put on your head or by your circumcision. And these children, our children, make us, or at least make me, want to redefine the camps, redefine the word we. I think there's no other word in the world which is so ideologically charged like the word we. I was forced by death to ask myself this question when death put me in the camp of the victims of the occupation. But even before that, I never wanted to be in the camp of the executioners. And that means that in my camp, there are many more people with keffiyeh than with a kippah on their head. When Ehud Olmert, today our prime minister, came to pay condolences as the mayor of Jerusalem, I refused to see him or shake his hand. A reporter asked me, how come you receive condolences from the other side? And I told her very spontaneously, I don't. I refuse to shake his hand. Because for me, this man was the other side, not my Palestinian friends. My we is defined by people who want to live in peace, by people who believe that children have rights and are not to be used as chips in the blood market of politicians. My we includes mothers whose motherhood has not been perverted, and that means mothers who do not send their children to kill other children, and mothers who do not feel consoled by the death of other mothers' children. And that means that it does not include Jewish mothers who live in the occupied territories. My we include the people from the Bereaved Families Forum who believe in dialogue and not in mind infection. And of course, the young people of the Young Movement Combatant for Peace, who maintain an admirable dialogue between themselves. One of the projects of the forum, the Families Forum, is a project called Hello Peace, where you can dial a free number from either side and speak to people on the other side, Palestinians and Israelis. In the first 3 months of this project, there had been 800,000 minutes of talk. If our politicians, who set such a high price on every word they utter, but set no price at all on bullets, had spent half of it, in talk, our children would have been alive today. Unfortunately, dialogue is a very strange praxis to the world today. Mind infection is much more common. Our children are mind infected. This is the only term that can explain how nice Jewish children, or nice American children, or nice British children become monsters once they are in uniform. Their mind infected into believing that killing other children and sacrificing themselves is for the good of the nation, or God, or freedom, or democracy. Israeli children learn that the population is divided into Jews and non-Jews. It doesn't matter who these non-Jews really are. Whatever they learn in history, in geography, even in science, is divided into Jews and non-Jews. Jewish agriculture versus non-Jewish agriculture. Jewish electricity versus non-Jewish electricity. Jewish water versus non-Jewish water. In no Israeli textbook is there one photograph of a Palestinian or any Arab as a human being, modern, productive, normal. The only representation of these people, who are neighbors, actually, is either by a racist caricature of the typical Arab from Thousand and One Nights, with pointed shoes, keffiyeh, and a camel, and a mustache, of course, or photographs of empty places where they tell you this is where the Palestinian problem matured and festered. Israeli textbooks call a whole nation a problem to be solved. And this is almost no more than 60 years after the Jews were called a problem to be solved. No map in any Israeli school book shows the international law borders of the country. The international laws are taught to be inapplicable in our reality because we act according to divine laws. The children of Israel learn about the greater land of Israel and not about the state of Israel. The state of Israel is represented as an accident of a forced ceasefire, and therefore as temporary. The Palestinian areas are incorporated into the state, but whenever there is a report about population, education, employment, etc., the legend of the map says about these areas, an area without data, which means without people. When you have a map of Jerusalem, institutions, government, administration, religious sites, you never see any Muslim institution or religious site.